If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good thing to have the Lord's Day set aside for worship and meditation upon the things of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Today is God's day. I wonder, what about your plans for God's day? Have you included the Lord, the Bible, the church? We here at Worth Baptist Church are rejoicing in the blessings that God has bestowed upon us during the days of the summer. As this summer season of 77 comes to a close, we look back over it, thanking God for the greatest summer in our history. Every week, God has saved souls and added to the church during the days of the summer. Truly, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. On this final Sunday of August 1977, it would be our joy for you to come and share with us the blessings of God. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11. Our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. The motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. I trust that you'll be with us today in a class for every member of your family where the Bible only is our textbook. Our theme is building for Christ as we build for eternity. This word of special announcement concerning the moving of Worth Baptist Church to our new facilities. Our tentative schedule is at this point to have our first services in our new building on Sunday, September the 18th. Now, our new location is 4900 Campus Drive. That's at the corner of Loop 820 and Campus Drive, just across from the Tarrant County Junior College, the South Campus, and adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School. Tentative schedule then calls for our first service on Sunday, September the 18th. We'll have further announcements on these broadcasts in the next week or two. So we invite you to share with us these services here at 3309 Wilbarger, our present address, throughout the day today. And I trust that you will be much in prayer as we make the move to our new properties at 4900 Campus Drive. In the meanwhile, we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. If you would like a free copy of today's message on cassette tape, it is yours simply by writing and requesting it. All you need to do is write and ask for today's broadcast. Mail your correspondence to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast, entitled, The New Birth. I shall read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior. We thank Thee for the glorious privilege of worshiping Him. We thank Thee for the glorious privilege of wording the gospel over this radio station today. I pray that Thou wouldst bless every listener. I pray for America. Dear God, I pray that revival would come to America in these days. I pray for our own city. I pray that Fort Worth might lead the way in a spiritual revolution in our nation. I pray today, dear God, for those who are listening for the very first time. May this broadcast do something for them, Some who are seeking and searching and longing for peace. Some who are distraught, discouraged, despondent. Some who are in sorrow and tragedy, who've lost loved ones in death, into whose homes severe and serious crises have come. I pray for them today, for that businessman whose business is about to collapse, for that husband and father whose home is about to break up, for those children who don't have parents, for all of the needs, for our senior citizens, for our ailing and sick and infirm ones in the hospitals or in their homes, wherever they are today. May this broadcast be a blessing to them. And I pray, dear God, that some precious soul would come to know Jesus Christ, experiencing the new birth, ere this broadcast comes to a close. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Now in the Gospel according to John chapter 3, I began reading at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The new birth. It has been said that Booker T. Washington, the renowned Christian statesman, often annoyed people by quoting Scripture for every occasion and every subject under discussion. One day, an irritated senator asked him, Mr. Washington, do you understand the Bible? To which he replied, No, my friend, I do not understand it. I just take it as it reads. Well, my friend, I would be first to admit to you today that I do not understand the marvels, the mysteries, nor the magnitude of the subject under discussion in my text. But I hasten to tell you that I take it just as it reads. I've entitled my message, The New Birth. Before I go into the body of the message, let me share with you a few observations concerning John 3:16, the most outstanding, the most familiar verse in all the Bible. Martin Luther, the great reformer, called it the Parva Biblia, that is, the small Bible. It has often been referred to as the Bible in miniature. It contains only 25 words, but it tells the story of God's love and the redemptive plan and program in Jesus Christ for all the world. God is the greatest of all lovers. God so loved, that's the greatest of all love. He loved the world, that's the greatest scope. He gave, that's the greatest act. His only begotten Son, that's the greatest gift. That whosoever, that's the greatest invitation, believeth on him, and that's the greatest simplicity, should not perish, and that's the greatest consolation, but have everlasting life, and that's the greatest bestowal upon any human being. Another observation. Consider three words out of this verse. Love, gift, and life. God loved the world. He loved without a cause. He loved without pause, and he loved without flaws. The gift is unspeakable, unmerited, and unmeasurable. The life that Jesus Christ gives is unending, unimpeachable, and unforfeitable. The third observation is this. Heaven's brightest beam is this, for God so loved the world. There is also earth's grandest theme, that he gave his only begotten Son. And then there's God's simplest scheme, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. About the new birth, there are three things that I would share with you. First, the necessity of the new birth. Consider Nicodemus for a moment. Nicodemus was rich, refined, respected, and religious, but he was lost. You see, it is possible for a man to be very religious and yet be lost. A man can hold a high position in a church, in a denomination, and still be lost. A man can make a study of the comparative religions of the world and still be lost. Nicodemus was a self-made man. But my beloved friend, there are no self-made men in heaven. Only men who are new made get to heaven. And before a man is new made, he has to be unmade. And this is precisely what Jesus did to Nicodemus. He stripped him of all of his moral, cultural, social, religious, and intellectual garments and showed him point blank that he must experience a new birth. I would say to you today, you must be born again. The necessity of the new birth is because of three things. First, every man outside Jesus Christ is spiritually blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 tell us this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Not only that, in the second place, they are spiritually ignorant. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, we read, the natural man receiveth not the things of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Not only so, but in the third place, every man outside Jesus Christ is spiritually dead. It is written in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Besides all this, every member of Adam's race, outside the confines of God's grace, having never trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, every man, I say, has a bad heart. It is written in Jeremiah 9:17. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So, my friend, the new birth is made necessary because of that condition of spiritually blind, spiritually ignorant, and spiritually dead. This is the condition of every man who does not know Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. The story is told of a college professor who was being rowed across a river, and he said to the oarsman, do you know anything about philosophy? And the oarsman said, why, no, I don't. He said, do you know anything about biology? Well, no, said the oarsman, I don't. Well, then, my friend, do you know anything about geology? No, He said, I don't. Well, he said, it seems that about three-fourths of your life is gone. About that time, the boat tipped over. The oarsman said to the college professor, do you know anything about swimology? No, he cried as he went down the last time. Then said the oarsman, your whole life is gone. My friends, you can know all of the sciences, the arts, all of the intellectualism, have all of the degrees and education that this world affords. But if you do not know Jesus Christ and the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, your life is gone, not only for time, but for eternity. Ye must be born again. And then the second thing I would note is the nature of the new birth. Back at verse 5, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, there are a lot of people today who say that water in verse 5 is baptism. And they are called those who believe in baptismal regeneration. That is, a man must be baptized in order to be saved. Well, my friend, this is not the case at all. And if indeed those people were right, they have their order in reverse. Jesus talked about water and then Spirit. So if they are going to preach baptismal regeneration, they ought to baptize a man before they have anything to do with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus mentioned water first. But such is not the case. It is not baptism at all. It speaks of the physical birth. Now watch this. In the womb of the mother, there is a water sac called the placenta. In that water sac or placenta is the unborn fetus. Through a process of osmosis, the little fetus is fed through the walls of that water sac. Jesus is referring to the physical birth when he said, you must be born of water, that's the physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's the spiritual birth. You must be born again. You've already been born of water. You've already had a physical birth, he said to Nicodemus. Now you must have a spiritual birth. You see, the problem with those who teach and preach baptismal regeneration is they stop at the end of verse 5. But listen to what verse 6 says. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now notice the analogy. He said you got to have a water birth, that is a physical birth, and second a spiritual birth. And then he enlarges upon it in verse 6 by saying, that which is born of the flesh, that is the physical birth, is physical, is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, that is the spiritual birth, is spiritual. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So, my friend, the nature of the second birth is experiencing a birth from above. Every man of Adam's race has experienced a water birth, a physical birth. Now, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he must experience a second birth, a new birth, a birth from above, a birth, as the Greek puts it, from the top. You must be born again. And the only way that one could be born again is by having faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Those who looked upon the serpent were healed of the snake bite. Those who look by faith to Jesus Christ upon the cross are healed from the sin bite. So the nature of the new birth, it is brought about by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. And the third place, the nobility of the new birth. Those who are born again are first born of God. John 1 and verse 13, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Second, they are born of the Spirit. Verse 8, here in John 3, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And third, they are born by the Word, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, my friend, when you are born again, you have a noble birth. Why is it such a noble affair? I repeat, you are born of God, you are born of the Holy Spirit, you are born by the Word of God. So, my friend, Jesus, when he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," was establishing a principle that every member of Adam's race must come into confrontation with. You out there today, listening by radio, you must remember this. A physical birth is not enough. You must be born again. There must be a spiritual birth. You must confess your sins. You must call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My friend, it's just as simple as first confessing that you're a sinner. You must realize that you're lost. Once you realize that you're lost, turn by faith, pray the sinner's prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And that moment, the Holy Spirit will set up a work in your life and you can be born again. I have this footnote and I shall be through. If you are born only once, you will die twice. But if you're born twice, you will die only once. And if you are not born again, there will come a time when you will wish that you had not been born at all. As we leave the broadcast today, may I remind you once again that it would be our joy to have you visit with us today at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock, our morning worship at 11, our evening worship at 7, and don't forget, our tentative date for moving to our new building will be Sunday, September the 18th. We'll make a more concrete announcement on next week's broadcast. In the meanwhile, if you'd like a copy of today's message on cassette tape, it's yours by writing to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141. All you need to do is write and ask for it. It will be sent you free and postage paid. May God bless you as you plan to visit Worth Baptist Church today, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And until next Lord's Day, this same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.